Hey, let's go ahead and get started with prayer. Father, we thank you this evening. Lord, we thank you that you've given us your word, that we have assurance of you. We have assurance of faith, of salvation, Lord, because of your word. We ask you, Lord, at this time to teach us through your Holy Spirit that we may understand these things more clearly, that we may be able to worship you and love you in a more pure and a more holy way. Lord, we love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So next year, bring my own microphone, right? I know it works. And you know, the odd part is I throw that one in the beard to hide it and be fun, and it still works out. So anyways, boy, this is going to get complicated. All right, I got to bring it back down. There we go. Who of you doesn't have your Bible open to the book of Galatians chapter 5? Shame on you. Come on. That's where we are. Normally, I would say, open your Bible now to the book of this, that, or the other. But the reality is you should already be open, because that's where we're traveling right now. That's the area that we're going through. Now, my verse tonight that I've been given is Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20. And it didn't really escape me, the fact that I had the majority of the bad things. And, you know, I was feeling bad for Reuben earlier because of all the ribbing and stuff, what Bungie was giving him, but not anymore. To get us started out here, we need to go back into context in verse number 19. I am not taking away from what Bungie did. I just need to remind you of where we were to bring you back to where we need to be now. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. If we just take that little part right there, now the works of the flesh. What does it mean to work? What does it mean to earn something? If you're given something, it's yours for free, right? But if you earn it, that means you had to put in your sweat, your labor, and the things that you can do, the things that make things happen. You had to put your own body, soul, mind, all that stuff. That's the thing that you had to put into it. That was a work thing to do. And so the division that we're going to see here, because we're going to cover this now, tomorrow you'll get a very different setup. And that'll be the fruit, which you've seen, your little fruit things that you're carrying around now. But the work is what we attempt to do. And more specifically right now, is what we attempt to do to try to become more holy, or, you know, get closer to God or things like that. But the works that we do, the Bible says that our best days are as filthy rags. So that's our work. That's what we're able to do. And then the works of the flesh are evident. Of course, Pastor Bungie said that meant obvious. I would say Captain Obvious. What Paul was trying to tell you here is this was, I mean, you know, look, I'm telling you this. I don't need to really kind of go back over and make you understand it even better, because it's just that obvious. It's something that's so clear, so crystal, so you're going to understand these things. And so he covered the three things, or the topics that he covered four. I'm sorry. He covered the four things earlier. And now I'm going to cover a wider range of it. And so kind of what this is you don't want this to be a, this is what you do, this is what you don't do kind of a setup. Because then camp's no longer fun. Dad says, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, and don't do that. But see, this is more than that. We're trying to figure out why it is that we don't do these things. Why would it be avoiding these things? Why is this things that are just really not valid or not something that's going to help us out any? And so we want to kind of look through here and see the why. My middle son often asked, why? One of the most offensive questions in the English language, why? Hey, you robbed a bank. Why? I don't know. I needed the money, you know? And so, but we want to know the why for this. And so in my list, we have quite a few words here. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. And so when you get a verse that's nothing but a list of words, it's like, what do you do with that? Well, I want you to understand some things here. I want you to understand what it is that our flesh works towards. Now, in Genesis, you'll understand, you'll read at some point if you ever go through there and look, that man was created from what? Okay, try it again. I'm going to ask a question. I want a response. So man was created from dirt, right? Dust of the ground. you're in your earthly suit, your little bag of flesh, if you will. And so what I like to call everybody is dirt bags. You're made of dirt, you're little dirt bags. And so these are the things of your flesh, the dirt bag things that you can do. And so with that thinking, with that logic, what can you and I do that God can't? Well, we can sin, and that's pretty easy, right? But we can't do all the good and the positive things of what God can do. That's a fruit. We can't work for the fruit. We can only work towards the bad things. But now in our little list, we have beginning on the list is idolatry. Does anybody know what idolatry means? I like this, the stumper question for the beginning. Idolatry is defined by the Bible in Exodus chapter 20 would look like this. You shall not make yourself a carved image of any like or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children of the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. See, idolatry is not as simple maybe as that. I think it can get more complex sometimes too. What are things that we can put in our lives that are idols? I mean, when we're looking here, we think of the little tiny carved wooden images with metal thrown on the top of it. So that's a basic idol. But what are some spiritual idols, some things that we don't really think about on a day-to-day basis that we can put before God? Anybody in here play sports? Anybody in here watch sports on TV? For those of you who watch sports on TV, does anybody bet on those sports? I'm sorry, that's the older group, right? Anybody in here who watches the sports on TV, is that like the most important thing at that time and everything must die because of that? But see, for some people it is. Have you ever seen that guy who sits in his recliner? He's watching sports, the football game is on. And you say, hey, I got a question. And it's just like they'll strike you dead. Because it's something they put before something else. See, we're not supposed to put anything before God, right? We're not supposed to have any of those things. And what we tend to do, the things that we want to do, is to have something else or something that we like to claim and put as more important than God. For me, it can be work sometimes, right? For you guys, it's a sport thing at school, it's whatever's going on. But we have a tendency to say, this is more important. See, I'm a big advocate of, if it's time to go to be in fellowship, it's time to go and be in fellowship. Pastor mindset is don't miss church, right? I guess it's just in me that way. Maybe it's not that I want to see people. I just want to see them dedicated and devoted to church and to God the same way that I am. But what they do is they say, well, you know, it was more important to me to go play soccer this morning. So idolatry can be things like that. It can be, but then it can also be other things as well. We are, as a people who are designed to worship. And sometimes our idolatry comes in the shape of, my God wouldn't say that, or my God wouldn't do that. Have you heard this in topics today? In the news today, you'll hear somebody say, well, you know, in our church, blah, blah, blah. There is a gender fluid, neutral, whatever the thing is. I don't know. They claim no gender. I don't know how that's possible. But they were ordained in a denomination. And in that denomination, I've heard many people say, well, you know, my God wouldn't judge people like that. My God wouldn't do that. Well, that's true. Their God wouldn't do that because they have a God that's separate from the real God of the Bible. They have something else that's there. Did you know the God of the Bible is straightforward? There's no questions. When I read the Bible, when I see the things that are in there, I don't look and say, I wonder what God would feel about. You know, when people ask, what kind of car would Jesus drive? I think he would catch a ride with somebody. He'd take Uber, right? Chrysler? He was trying to reach the sinners, I know. I don't know that. You know, and they try to put these things in there and say, well, my God was this holy thing. And they build and develop this thing where they want to drive a Chrysler. And so they make their God. Who was the guy that ran Chrysler for so long? That evil person. Anyways. I'm just saying, he wants to drive us in his car, you know, not a Ford, not a proper vehicle, right? Oh. I'm sorry, I did not see that one coming. Thank you very much. So now you have the holy answer as known by Bungie. The Jesus Chrysler. Please. Okay. I'll go with that. Hey, listen, anything that you put in front of God, anything that you put in the place of where God is supposed to be, those things like that, they're not supposed to be. Let me ask you this. If you have something that is not God that you're saying, this is more important to me than God or things of God, will that get you to heaven? It's pointless. It's a waste of time. John 14:6 says what? Jesus says, he says, I'm the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So with that kind of a thinking, we don't want to put something in front of that that is not the right way to get there. You know, if you're going to drive a really long trip across country, you wouldn't take the Chrysler, would you? Because you want to get there. You want to take the vehicle that will get you there. What kind of car do you drive anyways? No, not you guys. I'm looking at somebody in specific. Yes, you. A what? He doesn't drive a car. He rides the bus. So we want to get on that the avenue, the thing that's going to get us there. We don't want to waste time on something that's not going to work. If you're trying to build something, do you get all the wrong tools? No. If you're trying to do a big important paper for school, you know, well, never mind. You never want to do that anyways. But you want to get the right tools to do the right things so that you can make sure that you get it done. And idolatry is one of those things you would say, if I'm working at something, if I'm trying to do something that doesn't actually get me there, it's a waste of time. Who in here likes to waste time? Everybody raise that hand. Video games. When you get older, you don't want to waste as much time. And so you'd go away from that. Now, are we ready on our list? Some of your Bibles on this next one are going to say something weird. It's going to say witchcraft. It's going to say sorcery, things like that, right? Depends on which translation you have. I don't care which one you have. I'm going to use the one I'm using. So there you go. Sorcery and witchcraft sounds pretty straightforward, right? No? What did you say? Sorcery? Right. Okay. So that seems pretty straightforward, right? Easy to go? What's the Greek word for that? Oh, Chrysler driver. He's not listening again. What's the Greek word for that one? Sorcery. Oh, fantastic. Pharmakia. Does anybody recognize the name Pharmakia? Pharmaceuticals. There you go. This is the point in time. Let's just do this, okay? So it makes it easier for me. Who is this? This is a... If I get hurt, it's your fault, just so you know. I can work better like this. I need another XLR cable, just a little bit more length on this. Okay. But so we see pharmacia, that's the thing when you have with drug stores and things like that, right? What do they have at the pharmacy? They have medicines, they have the things that help you, hopefully. But here it wasn't the same thing. What people do nowadays, they take drugs. Anybody ever heard of something called drugs? Only a couple people, right? It's so weird because it's just now making a come up, right? Nobody's ever seen that stuff. Well, anyways, that's one of the things that you would have in there as part of what they're talking about. But drugs can be used and were at that time as a means of worship, a thing to do. Now, you have witchcraft and stuff that goes in there with it. There are a lot of things that accompany with it. But so what Paul is telling the Galatians is avoid this. Avoid sorcery. Avoid witchcraft. Pharmakia, you just get away from and rid of all those things. So we don't mess with that stuff. No, we don't. Maybe we do. Maybe we don't. We shouldn't. But those are one of the things of the work of the flesh. See, when they're in worship, when they're trying to do those things, they want to get to a heightened place. They want to see God. They want to know who God is and know all the things about it. But what happens is instead of getting this clearer image, this greater vision and seeing what all the things are, it kind of crashes you down. It causes you not to see the things clearly the way they ought to be seen. I have a great opinion. I got tons of great opinions. And if you want to hear them, you can come talk to me later. But he knows they're great. He agrees. Thank you. So I have a ton of opinions and they're all great. But here's the thing that I know, and I know this to be a fact. if you start to put your brain somewhere that it's not, if you start to put things in your brain that makes it do different things, alters your reality, maybe you don't get hurt, maybe things are not happening as badly or they don't seem as fast or whatever like that at the time, but you cannot function for God. See, sorcery, witchcraft, pharmakia, it puts a division between you and God, because God wants us to be clear-headed. He wants us to be level. He doesn't want us to think that we can somehow magically poof something to make it happen. We can't do that. If you look in the book of Revelation, I'm not asking you to turn there. I'm just going to tell you about this. But in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, verse 21, it says, "Nor did they repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts." They're not repenting of these things. Well, what's in context? Who is he talking about? This is, of course, in the end times. But now take us a little bit further into Revelation. Into Revelation 18, you're going to hear something really interesting. He's talking about Babylon. Babylon, we kind of refer to as the world. Things that are going down, things that are happening, things that are bad. Babylon had everything, right? Anybody ever heard of Las Vegas? Nobody? A couple of us, right? Good, fantastic. Las Vegas is Sin City. Whatever, you know, what's the tagline? Whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? That's kind of the mindset of Babylon. If you look in the book of Corinthians, that's the same mindset of Corinth. In fact, I tell people that Corinth, the city of Corinth, made Las Vegas look like Bible City. This is the kind of thinking that was happening. But now towards the end of the book of Revelation, you see this. He says in verse 21, "Then a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and threw it into the sea, saying, 'So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. And the sound of harpists, musicians, of flute players, and trumpeters will be heard in you no more. Any craftsman of any craft will be found in you no more. And the sound of the mill will be heard in you no more. And the light of the lamp will shine in you no more. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will be heard in you no more. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery.'" All the great things that we can do, all the wonderful things that we can do, can be washed away pretty quickly and pretty easily by the sorcery, by the pharmakia. As bummer as that sounds, those things don't represent God. Now, I know what you guys are thinking. I'm only so old. I got tons of life left to live, right? I promise you, most of you will live longer than me, because I'm skating towards the downside, right? I'm getting older. Not quite as old as our elder Bungie, but we're getting there. I've lived my life. I've done stupid things, most of which I regret. I did other stupid things that weren't really that harmful. You know, like getting married. That was easy, right? Love my wife, wouldn't change anything. But I've done other stupid things. I want to be the herald. I want to be the one warning you to say, don't do stupid stuff. Young men, do not shave your face. Let it grow. Whiskers are good, right? Yes. Yeah. We have some people working on it right now. The point of sorcery. Hey, some of you can't grow your facial hair, and that's all right. You're called women. I'm just messing with you. I know there's guys that are like, "Oh, I've got this in my bloodline. I can't grow facial hair." I've met you people. So what's the point of sorcery? What's the thing that you're doing with sorcery? A lot of people are trying to get closer to God, right? Let me ask you this. Does it work to get closer to God?
No.
No, see, because it's not the way to God. If I were to say, "Hey, man, I've got this great idea. Why don't you get in a car, get in your Chrysler, and drive it all the way to Phoenix, Arizona, and come see me?" That's bad advice, because I live nowhere near that place. I'm giving you the wrong advice, the wrong directions, and the wrong way to get to me. And the same way as with the sorcery, it's the wrong way to get to God, even though some people say, "Well, this is kind of how I want to get there." Or you see the people talk about, "Well, you know, if you do this and do that, you're now more enlightened." Do you want to be enlightened? read the Bible. The enlightenment that they sell is nowhere the same. I'm going to have to begin going a little quicker, though, because I'm a little bit long on my words here. Hatred, enmity. How do you say that one? The letters are backwards. Enmity. Who in here thinks it's okay to hate people? Where's all the hands? You do? I see the hand up. No? Is it not? No, don't look back. It's you. I said he's like this. He wants to put it up. He's fighting it and he's trying it. He's playing with his hair. That's what he says. I have to play with this hair. I don't have it back here. And of course, it messes up the microphone. Hatred is always a bad thing. Jesus was talking about the badness, if you will, of hatred. In Matthew 5, we looked at Matthew 5 earlier today, but it was in a different context. In Matthew 5 and verse 21, it says, "You have heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whosoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable of judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire." Jesus says that hatred is the same as murder. That's things that we ought not do. Now, you guys don't understand this yet. Only a couple of you and the rest of the adults understand what it is like to drive. Who in here has driven in Dallas? Yeah. That's Sin City when it comes to driving, right? That's when hatred comes out. People wave at you. Do what? Houston, we don't drive in Houston. We avoid Houston. Houston's bad. I'm sorry, where are you from? Anyways. We get developing hate. We do those things. But you know what? Is hatred, let me ask you this, is hatred of God? When people think, you say it is? You just shook your head, yes. You're killing me here. Oh, he's scratching his beard. Trying to get bonus points with the teacher. Hatred is not of God. In fact, in the book of 1 John, John tells us something really cool. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we have love, but loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." If you have love in your heart, is there a place for hate in your heart? I'm getting tired of holding the microphone. That's why I have to keep pausing. Let me change. If you have love in your heart, is there a place for hate? No, there's not. I think it's interesting because there's a lot of people who you would think that guy totally has the right to hate somebody. Have you ever met those people? What about in a situation where a wife is there and her husband is gunned down in front of her? Should she just go beat the guy that gunned him down? That's a tough question, isn't it? Say, this is Texas, man. The first bullet would have flown and we would have got the rest of them with our bullets, right? Oh, yeah, Texas. Not Houston. And I don't hate Houston. I just try not to go there. I'm starting to put Austin on my list, too. Just for you. I don't know, man. What's up? Austin's not too bad. But we should be loving people instead of hating people. We should be, you know, not trying to come after them, not trying to hurt them, but loving them. I know I'm giving you the one thing, and Michael's going to give you the positive side of the whole thing. He's got the easy job, right? Clean up after all the mess. He says, no, I don't. But I think it's pretty obvious that hatred is the opposite of love. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, it says, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." If we're hostile to each other, if we hate each other, don't you think it just makes sense that we would also hate God? So these are things, again, we need to avoid, things that we need to stay away from. These are works of the Flesh, thank you. Because you're a bunch of dirt bags, thank you. All right, everybody stop what you're doing right now and say, I'm a dirt bag. Thank you. Stop. It's okay. It's okay to be a dirt bag. Next on the list would be contentions. This is your problem starter. Does anybody have in school that one? And school's so different. I went to school so many hundreds of years ago. It's very different now. I know that. But just in school, do they still have that one kid who they hear this little bit of information and they're like, we're going to start some fun with this? I see people laughing because they were the problem starter. Some people resonate with this a little deeper than others. We're told not to be that person, not to be that person who causes problems, division, strife, all that, the contention. Hey, you know what? We're not supposed to be that person. We're not supposed to be stirring up the problems. But what do we do? Young ladies in here, you like him and so does she. You like him and so does she. I'm not... Now, I wasn't speaking to you specifically, so am I to understand that... I wasn't pointing to her, but she just admitted to liking her brother, and I'm not... Okay. All right. Let me try this again. Not pointing to anybody specifically in the room. Not pointing to any one person. There's a young lady in our little imaginary place who likes a young man. She thinks he's awesome. But so does another girl who's not his brother. That's not usually what happens, right? Who in here has protection dogs, like guard dogs that are tough and mean? Who in here has... we're good. All right. So, which is the best protection dog? And not talking breeds. I'm talking genders. The female dogs are vicious, right? If you ever run over a pig, a little baby piggy, up where we are, we have a bunch of wild pigs. Anybody got wild hogs up down here? Everywhere, right? You run over baby piggy, watch out for mama. She's coming after you, right? They're mean. I don't know how I got off onto that topic. We're just talking about your brother. Sorry about that. So we don't want to cause division. We don't want to cause these contentions of people trying to cause fights, being problem starters. That's where we started. Somehow we got to your brother. I'm not sure what happened. Left turn at Albuquerque. That's a Bugs Bunny reference, people. The Bible says this in Titus chapter 3 and verse 9. But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Now, in the context of what we're talking about, it can apply to anything. What we're seeing there now, it applies to things of Bible. Has anybody here ever seen division in the church? Can we walk into any church and just worship with them and everything works out just fine? No, it doesn't, does it? Now, there are plenty of places that call themselves churches that are not one, or they're not part of the church, if you will. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the regular ones. It just seems like for whatever reason, we want to argue over the small things. We want to argue over anything. And I'm saying this, don't cause division. Don't cause any kind of weird division between two people. Oh, down the list we go. Jealousy. As you can tell, there's a man in the background scratching his ear, jealous of my beard. He's like, oh yeah, my wife made me cut mine. Just saying. Jealousy. We don't want to be jealous, right? Let me ask you a question. Is jealousy always bad? All right, how about this? If you think jealousy is bad, raise your left hand. If you think jealousy can sometimes be good, raise your right hand. Everybody's torn. Okay. Just so you know, I can't tell which hand's raised from over here. All I saw was hands raised. But there's a pastor who got this one right. I don't want to name names or make him feel bad, but he got it right on. Jealousy can be okay, but do you remember earlier when we were reading in the book of Genesis? What does it say in Genesis chapter 20 and verse 4? You shall not make of yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath. Or that going on. I don't want to go. Okay, so verse 5. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God. So jealousy is so bad, how can God be jealous? Nobody can answer that one now. Do you know what God is jealous about? We're giving the wrong attention, the wrong affection to the wrong idols. He knows that that belongs to him. In that situation, your worship, your praise, your everything belongs to God, doesn't it? That's where it's supposed to go. And it's a righteous jealousy that says, but you're putting it somewhere that it ought not be. And that righteous jealousy is because he has ownership of that praise. He has ownership of that adoration. That belongs to him. It's almost like the mindset, if you have some cool thing and somebody takes it from you, it belongs to you. You worked for it. You bought it. You paid for it. The whole thing like that. But somebody else took it. That's not their stuff, man. Get your hands off, right? That's not the jealousy we're talking about. Understanding the context here, the jealousy that we're talking about is the stuff where that young lady, unnamed, unmentioned, you know what I'm saying, is after that other lady's person. It's like covetousness. Anybody know your Ten Commandments? Number 10, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's beard, your neighbor's donkey, your neighbor's Chrysler. All those different things. See, that jealousy, that covetousness, that begins to develop. And what happens? Action comes through that. Things happen, right? It's just a little mindset that hops in there. And you say, you know what? I want that. I'm jealous of it. There is a way that it could be good, but that's not what we're talking about here. We need not do that. Outbursts of wrath. This is what I expect to see coming from Reuben one day whenever Bungie makes a joke about him. He's just going to come running up to the front with a sword or a bat. One day I did remember seeing Reuben wearing armor to protect himself from Bungie, but if I remember correctly, Bungie helped put it on him or instructed somebody to put it on him. Outburst of wrath. I'm just saying one day, Bungie's going to sit there. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be smooth as a whistle. Things are going to seem great. He's going to be sitting there with a turkey leg in one hand. Some bizarre thing will happen. Door flies open. Here comes Reuben. Outburst of wrath. Now, in his defense, Reuben's actually wrong on this one. Sorry about that. We're not to have these outbursts of wrath, these fits of rage or fits of anger. We say revenge. What happens when we do practical jokes, guys? Are practical jokes fun? Oh, yeah. But what happens? I thump you on the ear, right? Like that. Get you right in the ear. Oh, man, that got you messed up. And then what happens? I'm going to get you back. I'm not just going to thump you in the ear. I'm going to pop you upside the head. So you do that. And then so here in a minute, somebody gets pushed on the shoulder. And then somebody picks up a brick and hits you in the head. It's that wrath, revenge, the outburst of wrath, the things that are bad. We don't do that. See, Jesus said to turn the other cheek. When somebody hurts you, when somebody does something to you, you do what? You do what? You turn the other cheek. Reaction to somebody's being a jerk. Sorry, Reuben. He's like, man, I'm almost there. I have a way to get back now. No, you don't. See, when we let our flesh get there, when we let our little dirtbagness get to that point and we attack back and we go after them, that too is something that's a work of the flesh. Did you think that, hey, that's going to make me feel a lot better, right? Wouldn't it make you feel better to make somebody cry and bleed and stuff like that? No, it doesn't. It just doesn't. We want to avoid those things. We want to stay away from that. See, there's wrath. The wrath of a king who goes to war and crushes the enemy. But we don't have that authority. We're not the government. God gave the government authority to go to war, to do the things like that that they need to do. But he did not give that to us. So while we can look and say, well, that person gets revenge, that person gets the wrath, that person gets to do all these things, guess what? Because we belong to Jesus, we let God handle that. The authority is not ours to use. We let God handle those things. Anybody have like a big brother that's tough and beats people up for you? Yeah. Him. Hey, guys. That's not even close to good enough. God knows what's going on. God knows the score. He keeps better track on all of that stuff. So if you're worried about somebody getting what's coming to them, don't worry. Everybody who does not repent and put their trust in Jesus will get what's coming directly to them. That revenge will be exacted, but it's not ours to do. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, right? I switched to King James on you. Sorry about that. That's how I memorized that one. That means it belongs to him. That means that you and I are to love people, right? How easy is it to love people? Next to impossible. It's easier just to say, oh, you got that coming and hit him in the head with a bat. Let's not do those things. If any of you brought weapons here, don't follow my advice. Don't do that. Keep away from those things. Selfish ambitions. Your Bible may say things like rivalries and things of that sort. Selfish ambitions. If Christianity is to be an others-centered religion, an others-centered faith, does selfishness fit? Now, there's a certain amount of selfishness to say, it's okay, it's your toy, we're not going to mess with you, you little jerk. I had a friend like that growing up. He wasn't really a friend, he was just a guy I knew, because a friend would let me play with his toys, right? But he was always selfish with his stuff. Not what I'm talking about. Now, I'm talking about selfish ambition, that kind of thing that says, I'm going to climb the corporate ladder, I'm going to do all these things, and I don't care who I have to step on. If I have to crush you, 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 and you, that's fine, because that's the way I'm going to get there. Let me ask you a question. Is that an effective way to rise to power in the secular world? It's quite effective, actually. It's quite effective. But see, you can't let that be said amongst you. You say, I belong to Jesus. I'm not that person. I made a pledge years ago, and I should never have done this. I'm like, I'm not going to ask for a raise. But you know what? God knew when I needed money, he would kind of put that in there when it needed to happen. I depended on God to do the things for me, not for me to strong arm the people around there. In selfish ambition, at one point in life, I did try to raise up and do more and be more and basically run the roost. And it blew up in my face. Hey guys, selfish ambition is directed towards only you. There's a theme to what we're talking about right now. I'm going to come to that here in just a moment. Let me give you a little bit of a definition here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. But, and you know the but changes everything backwards, right? But in humility, count to others more significant than yourselves. That's what we're to do. Now in James chapter 3, verse 14, it says this. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and get this, demonic. For you, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, and good fruits, impartial and sincere. What was the opposite of selfish ambition? What was the opposite of all the things that pleased perfectly me? Peaceable, gentle, open to reason. I'm telling you right now, selfish ambition doesn't care what you think if it's the other person. Here's where it gets weird. It took me coming to Jesus before I actually cared what other people think. I mean, you could say, well, I care what other people think. That's why I comb my hair and don't look like a complete Sasquatch, right? What happens, though, is after a while, God takes it away. He's done it to me. He did it to Bungie. He did it worse to Bungie. He don't even have anything left up top. Cue ball, we call. We don't do things. Sorry. This court is really distracting if you don't notice that. We don't do things specifically for ourselves that we're not supposed to. Hey, got a little ADD rocking here, right? Back off. But we don't do things specifically for ourselves like that. Dissensions, disagreements that lead to discord. That's what the dictionary says about it, right? Like I say, your translation may have various other words that are in here. Just listen to what I'm saying. I know. I see some people looking down. That's not what my Bible says. I know. I use the Evangelical Standard Version, and that may upset some folks, but that's okay. It's easy to teach by, and I like the construction of the sentence, so it works for me. Disagreement that leads to discord. Going kind of back to the causing the division. Now let's end this up on a cool one. You ready? Heresies. Who in here knows what a heresy is? People in the back row are not allowed to answer. Yeah, well, you're taught by somebody who knows. Yeah. What is heresy? You know what? I went to the dictionary to define this to make it a little bit better. It says, belief or opinion contrary to the orthodox religious, and we would say especially Christian, doctrine. It's actually more of a wrongful dividing, the wrongful dividing over opinions. Biblical Christianity says that Jesus Christ is the only way. John 14:6, right? I love that verse, one of the good ones that I hold on to. That's what biblical Christianity says. But you find yourself in cults and they jump in there and they say things like, oh, well, you know what? If you don't go to church on Saturday, you're going to hell. I'd be in trouble, man. Saturday is my day to do other stuff. We would say that's heretical to biblical teaching. I want to say this. We need to learn. We need to be students. We need to be people who love and know our Bibles. We need to belong to Jesus first, right? That's an imperative. That's important. Hey, listen, guys. The best thing in my life ever has been Jesus Christ, without exception. When I was saved in a deep, dark place in my life. Things are going bad. They're going horribly bad, probably even more wrong than you could imagine. And the one saving grace was the freedom of Christ. I found it to be important. You guys may not say, when I was raised in a church, it's all different for people like me. I understand that. You won't understand this one, but I'll explain it or try to explain it the best I can. If somebody in your family, somebody in your life gets terribly sick, they get some disease, some whatever, something, and you go to the doctor, and the doctor can't explain to you what's going on. The doctor can't explain to you because they're not really 100% sure what's going on, but they say, we name it this. You go home, you beat down things like WebMD, everything, you research, you go buy medical dictionaries, things like that, and you begin to learn and understand what it is, what it means to have that disease. What it is that's going to cause a problem. You dig deep, you go hard, and you figure it out. You don't stop until you know something. Because your life has now been redesigned by this. Hey guys. Once your life is redesigned by Jesus Christ, we make a commitment to know these things. The Bible is very true. It is very accurate. And when read in context, I can't beat that one up enough. When read in context. When you understand what's going on in there. When you understand that the God of the Old Testament was a God of love. Then you stop saying things like, well, you know, the God of Old Testament, well, he was just crushing everybody and killing them. But the God of the New Testament, now that's a guy of love. Hey, it's okay to not know everything in the Bible. I would say this, though. If you know it from study, if you know it from getting in there and from learning it, go deep. Stand your ground. When it comes time, you know what it is. Don't be a heretical person. Don't cause division in the church that doesn't need to be there. I know what kind of churches you guys go to. I trust them. Because they're teaching the Bible in context, right? Right? Right. I'm getting, no, I was looking at the people back there. They're supposed to be teaching the Bible to you. They should be doing that. And you should be digging deep and understanding what all those things are and really understanding and growing and learning from it, right? Hey, when I was young, when I was a little bitty kid, all that stuff, I say little bitty kid, I was probably that big. I don't know. But people told me all things that weren't true. I wasn't a church person. I wasn't somebody who went to camp. I didn't go to church camp until I was an adult. No church camp when I was a kid. That's not where the little weirdos like me went. It wasn't until I got into this that I started to learn that. And I started to see God in context and see what it was. And then now when people misrepresent God to me, I find it offensive. Back then, I just found it confusing. There's a lot of things that you and I can do. How this becomes the work of the flesh is very simple. And I wanted to bring it back to that. All this is the works of the flesh, right? How is being heretical a work of the flesh? Because you're trying to make a God to fit your own way. You're trying to make a religion that fits your opinion and your attitude better than it does anything else. I'm pretty sure the selfish ambition, the divisions, the outbursts of wrath, those all seem pretty easy to go with, right? All these things say, I don't need God. All these different works of the flesh say, I can do it myself. Years ago, I discovered something. I can't do it myself. Can anybody in here do calculus? I can't even spell it. Don't raise your hand. Put it back down. I saw that hand go up. Wrong time. That's some tough stuff, man. I can't do calculus. I admit it. I have a hard time with 2 + 1. Isn't that like 14 or something? Listen. There's things that you can't do. Just allow and accept the fact that God can. Now, we've been covering the works of the flesh, the things that we can do to try to either get towards God or to do our own thing or to be our own saved or all that. But what's coming up, of course, we got one more session of the works of the flesh, right? Where is that one? There you go. Pay attention because these are things that you are attempting to do to get to God, or you're attempting to do because you don't trust God. Trust God in all the things that you do. It's not easy. It's tough. Stop putting everything in your own power. That's tough too. If you ever try to go and do something hard, it's hard to trust God because you're thinking, how will I get through this? But it's leaning on God, not taking the wrath on people, not causing all those divisions. But you have to trust in God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this evening for your word. We thank you that you are powerful, you are mighty, and that we can trust you. Lord, I ask this evening that if we don't know how to trust you, maybe, Lord, we get there. Lord, maybe we begin to focus on who you are and less of who we are. Father, give us the strength. Continue to teach us through your Holy Spirit that we may understand things better. Cause us, Lord, to be changed by this camp, to see you in a better way, to see you in a greater light. Lord, help us to stop putting our hands to the task to do our own saving, not to be led by our own flesh, Lord, but led by your Spirit. Father, I thank you for this time, and I thank you for these young minds who are willing to sit here and listen to me drone on about words that are in the Bible. Lord, cause it to sink to our hearts, though, that we may apply these things and grow and become better. Lord, better servants of yours. Lord, we love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.